If you have your Bibles quickly, let's open to the book of Matthew chapter 6, which is where we have been reading, talking about the elements of prayer that we have been studying for a while. The book of Matthew chapter 6. We'll continue what we've been saying about the matter of the will of God. Let me just review it briefly, and then we'll go into the next point we want to make. Let me just start from verse 8. Therefore, do not be like the Gentiles, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Use this as a template for your prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Now, another one we should read quickly, the book of Matthew chapter 7. I want to read that from verse 7 in the Amplified Bible. It says, keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Then he went ahead to explain from verse 9 why you need to be persistent. Or what man is there of you, if his son asks him for a loaf of bread, we hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we hand him a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good and advantageous gifts to those who keep on asking him? All right, the Lord is good. Now, we are talking about the matter of prayer, the elements of prayer. And the last time, I spoke extensively about the issue of the will of God. Now, what I said then, let me not say everything again, but I just need to, I just, after preaching it, I realized the importance again of it. That it's very crucial we don't forget that thing. And because it has even helped me, all right, myself when I'm praying these days, and using the matter of the will of God in prayer. We said that the will of God is not the way we often look at it, as if there's a matter of, God, do that which is your will. Are you getting my point? No, that was not what Jesus was saying, please. Because we see that he gave us a template for prayer. And when he talked about the will of God, he was not saying that, let's just leave it to whom it may concern, like we said. No, the will of God is recorded. The will of God is written. The will of God was predetermined before we came to the scene. And so what God did is this. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. What he said we should do with his will is to enforce his will on the earth. And I like the way John Gillick said once, talking about the power, the dominion that God gave to mankind over the things of the earth. He said he can't imagine that Adam, having dominion in the garden then, we need the animals to do something, and he has to go around beating them and chasing them up and down. No. I believe that there's a dominion in his soul, in his spirit, which will make it possible for him to just call and they will respond. What am I going to say? That when God gives us his will and he says we should execute it, he wasn't saying we should go out and start physically fighting to bring them to pass. We executing the will of God, one of the major ways by which we do that is through the matter of prayer. So when it says, pray, thy will be done, what it was said is that if you discover something that is wrong, let me just review that briefly. Don't leave it like that. Do something about it. And the first thing you can do about it is to pray about it. That is, if you know this is wrong, it is wrong just because you know what the right thing is. And right is not what you think is right. Right is not what I think is right. Right is what God says is right. Are you getting my point? And when we have discovered that which is right, we now start praying that. I recommended a message. Please still don't forget. Try and get it, all right? Derek Prince's message, Aggressive Prayer, all right? In the Spiritual Conflict series, Aggressive Prayer. He explained that principle there. That what you now do, why I read that Matthew chapter 7, is that there's something about persistence in prayer which you must never forget. We often say that a prayer of faith prays once and does not ask again. It just keeps giving thanks. Whether you are giving thanks or you are repeating whatever it is, as long as you don't leave the point of making that demand until you see a full manifestation. That's what intercessory prayer is about. That is, this is the will of God. It has not yet been fulfilled the way you know how to fulfill it. And you sit down there because you know it will be fulfilled. So that's why Amplified here says that you keep on asking. All right? And I said last time, don't forget, it is not just saying the same thing again and again alone. But God opens your eyes. Are you getting me? That you discover new things, but still on the same point. I gave the illustration of the manifestation of the power of God in the body of Christ. If we sit down there and say, what we are seeing is not good enough, and we start asking, how do we know the will of God? It's simple. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And with those signs, if we are not seeing it, then that matter becomes what? A matter of prayer. And then it's a matter of the will of God. So we say, this will be done. Now, you know, I was thinking about this current crisis in Nigeria, all right, Boko Haram and all of that. Let me explain the principle. Let me tell you something about the will of God. There's a book, Divine Guidance. That's the name of the book, Divine Guidance. Now, there's something the man said, it identified different parts of the will of God, different things. The man defined permissive will of God in such a manner that really, really blessed me. I've been trying to explain it to people for a long time, but finally I got what I wanted to say. This man said it beautifully. Now, when we talk about the permissive will of God, people make it look as if there's a perfect will of God. You get my point? And then there's an acceptable will, and there's a good will of God. I said that thing doesn't have any meaning. When Paul said, you will know, that's Romans chapter 12, you know the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's just one thing. And that is what you are supposed to pray about. All right? The will of God, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. The will of God is good. At the same time, it is acceptable. At the same time, it is perfect. Paul was not describing the three types of the will of God. He was giving us the three qualities of the will of God for your life. Are you getting my point? But there is what is called the permissive will, which is a word you don't find in the scriptures, but which we invented in Christianity and is describing something. And that man explained something about what it means. That is, what he was saying is that God made gravity. Amen? It works all the time. Amen? It is the permissive will of God. So, if you walk out of the building against the will of God, and you fell down three stories against the will of God, and you hit your head against the will of God, and then you died against the will of God, you have died in the permissive will of God. Are you getting my point? Simply because he created gravity. He spoke it into existence. That any man who smokes too much cocaine or LSD, you know what they call LSD? You don't know what they call LSD. Anyway, LSD used to make people see visions. Yeah, it's a very dangerous drug. They use it in occultic practice. They use it in all kinds of cults. And young men used to use it at the time. And mescaline and LSD. You take LSD, you suddenly feel like Superman. And you come out of the window trying to fly. Except that LSD did not make gravity. And cannot speak to gravity not to pull you down. Alright? So, what's the permissive will of God? When a man is pulled down by gravity that he stepped into through the use of LSD, he took LSD in the permissive will of God. Are you getting my point? LSD gave him visions in the permissive, because God made the chemicals and said, this is going to give visions that I did not send. So anybody who takes it is seeing visions in the permissive will of God against the perfect will of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, it's very important what I'm saying. Just follow it. And then because gravity was set in motion by the law of God, it's now what they call the permissive will of God. Because sometimes people have said it as if, look, if you are walking not walking in the perfect will, at least you can walk in the permissive will. No. I said in one of the messages I prayed long ago, that the permissive will of God is not the will of God in any form. The devil rebelled against God in the permissive will of God. Why? Because he allowed him to have free volition. Understand my point? He allowed him to have a free will. So, when he rebelled, he was walking in the permissive will of God. That is, God permitted anybody who wants to rebel, please go ahead, feel free, rebel. It's a free heaven. You understand my point? We say it's a free country. But when you rebel, there are what the Bible calls the just recompense of reward, which is the perfect will of God for rebellion. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? You are getting the logic. Now, you know, I'm going to talk about Boko Haram, all right? So, now, in the perfect will of God, there's no Boko Haram. There's no terrorism. There's no militant. There's nothing. There's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what you have. But when men begin to walk in iniquity, they activate a law of God. Are you following my point? And what happens to them becomes what we call the permissive will of God. God allows us to do what we like, even though he doesn't like it. That's why it's called the permissive will. Now, when men begin to walk in iniquity, what the Bible calls death sets in. And death has different dimensions now, but I want to bring one issue out. And that's the fact that when God wants to bring judgment, when God wants to bring judgment because of sin, he still uses that same principle. What I mean is that you will see, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, right? Now, death comes as judgment for the sin that the person committed. And judgment is a perfect will of God in itself, because that's how God wants it. If you have sinned, the judgment is the will of God. But God didn't want the person to sin. So that judgment is not his perfect will. Are you getting my point? In that fellow's life. All right? Now, when a nation, now listen to me, when the world, when the people on the earth sin, oftentimes what we see as a bad thing becomes a manifestation of divine judgment for their iniquity. Am I losing you? Hey, please. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me explain. When God wants to bring judgment against Israel, at the time he told one of the prophets, I think is it Ezekiel now or Jeremiah? I think Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, don't worry about that. Don't worry. Forget this matter. It's Jeremiah. He said, no matter the prayer you pray in this matter, I'm not going to listen. All right? We're going to read Jeremiah chapter 15. He told him, even if Moses or Samuel were to pray about this thing, I still will not hear. Are you getting my point? Isaiah will tell you things like, a destruction is determined. And he uses the expression in King James, overflowing with righteousness. That is, it's full of righteousness. That destruction must come. If it does not come, it is unrighteousness. Many years ago, I listened to, what's the name of this, our brother? Miles Morrow. He flew into U.S. to come and give a message for a program. When he landed, he just managed to make it for the program. And it was a terrible thing. And I was watching on National Geographic or Discovery World a few days ago about natural disasters. And that hurricane that just ended before he came in is still on record as about the most devastating hurricane that the world has ever seen, or at least America has seen till today. And it's called Hurricane Andrew. It was terrible. I think that was around 93 or so. All right, so I'm not very sure of the year, but it's around 93, 92, 93. It was terrible. Hurricane Andrew cost, hey, I've forgotten the figures now, but billions and billions of dollars in damages. Killed a lot of people, all right? And it killed a lot of people. And then Miles Morrow says something. And the man who came afterwards, the man in whose church he came to preach, disagreed with him. Because there's a reason. I had two of the sessions, that day and the following one. And the following day I saw he had to explain away, or he tried to make sense out of the things he said the previous day, which is obvious somebody had gone after him to upturn. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. Now, the man is late now, the pastor in question. And what would Miles Morrow say? He made a statement which, for a man, which the host pastor was from that school, the school of the word of faith, a man from the school of the word of faith would never accept it. Miles Morrow said that hurricane was sent by God. Listen. Hurricane Andrew is the most devastating hurricane America has on record till today, 2011. And immediately after it was over, Miles Morrow came and said the Lord had to cleanse some things. So he said, sent the hurricane to cleanse. Oh God, once again I shake the heavens and I shake the earth. That's what the Bible says. That was a shaking of the earth. Miles Morrow said, made that statement. And listen, it didn't go down well with the host pastor. Because I mean, I was brought up under that teaching also, the word of faith. God never does anything wrong. God only does that which is good. God only does good. If anything goes bad, it is the devil. Are you getting my point? And Miles Morrow came up and said, that was not the devil, that was God. Now, many years have passed. I have learned here and there. One of the things I learned, of course, I learned from Miles Morrow himself. But everything put together, I realized that, listen to me, God sends hurricanes. He does. Let's not discuss why he does. The only thing that is never his perfect will. You know what God said? There are times there was a time I looked for a man to stand in the gap so that I will not bring judgment upon these people. But what happened? I found none. Therefore, I poured my wrath. That is, it was not my perfect will. I did not want to do it, but I had to do it. Why? Because there was none righteous. No, not one. There was not one that could stand in the gap and beg for mercy. Not just the Bible, but people were shouting for mercy. Plenty of people were begging for mercy. But there was none qualified. There was none that his hands were clean. There was none that had the righteousness enough to make me answer his call for mercy. I looked amongst them and there was not one. Therefore, I poured my judgment. So, now, I've not forgotten where I started from. For that, and so, you see, there are times you want to pray against Hurricane Andrew. And the Lord says, leave this my hurricane alone. I have some work to do. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's some, I wasn't sure I should say this because it can cause some confusion. There are times that God is doing something that's not nice and good to the human senses. And you want to specifically pray about it. And it's difficult. And the more you pray, the more it appears as if you are not being heard. Now, there are many things, like I said. One of them sometimes is that God will just say, look, listen, let the first day or two pass on this matter and the thing will be over. In that interval, I will have accomplished my will. God, please understand this. In removing people, in destabilizing institutions. Oh, God. Listen, God does not promote until he demotes. He said, promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. God is judge. He brings down one and then he exalts another. He told Jeremiah, I have anointed you today. You will pull down, you will uproot, you will destroy, you will scatter, then you will build and you will plant. Four acts of destruction, two states, two words on building. Are you getting my point? Now, so how do we pray when things are happening, sometimes when we don't know? Like I said, if you're confused, that's something about the word of God. When I listen to Derek Prince, that's why the recorded scriptures is very powerful. And that's why if you are praying, don't imagine that God is not hearing. Are you getting my point? No, he's hearing. In fact, you know, there was a time he told David, you have sinned against me and I'm going to punish you severely. So, you choose one of three things. One, 3 years of famine, 3 months in the hands of your enemy, or 3 days in my hand. And David considered it and said, 3 days in the hands of God, that one is safest because God is abundant in mercy. The day lasted a day and a half. Reason being that David continued to pray and beg God, and then when God looked down, he had to have mercy. And then the prayer of David, I believe, ended, in fact, directly. The Bible said that he had to go and sacrifice, and then he looked up and saw the angel that was doing the destruction in the land. All right? And his prayer of David ended the destruction that was determined halfway. Are you getting my point? Did God answer his prayer? Yes. Did many people die? Yes. Was the answer to prayer the death of many? No. The answer to prayer was the death of the balance that did not die. Because if David hadn't prayed, another 70,000 would have been added to the first 70. And maybe more. Maybe the angel was still warming up, you know, the first day. Maybe I'm blessing for one Monday. The guy will take 1 million in one day. Maybe the guy was still warming up. So did God answer the prayer? Yes, he did. All right? But did we see destruction? Yes, we saw it. But the answer to the prayer was that he shortened the days. Do you get my point? Now, so I was talking about the will of God. So this is how it is. We know, let's now go back to our Boko Haram issue as an example in Nigeria. We know peace is determined. Do you get my point? Yes. Sometimes when we are not able to, when we don't understand what exactly it is that the Lord is doing, so what we simply do is pray that which we know is determined. Are you getting my point? For example, God says simply to Jeremiah, that before destruction starts, you will see, I will send my angels out, yeah, Jeremiah saw it, to go and mark, you get my point, certain people. So let me tell you something. It's very important. When you are praying this kind of crisis, pray for people that you know. When destruction was going to come to Sodom and Gomorrah, there was no prayer Abraham could pray to stop it. And we have said, you know, many people have thought about it, that he prayed, if there are 50 in the land, God, will you stop? God said, yes, if there are 50. I will stop. And people say, you see, Abraham, he knew how to pray. He got, no, you know what God actually said? If there are 50 in the land, you think I'll have bothered to come down? If you thought about 50, I double thought about it. Are you getting my point? He went down till 10, and then he didn't say anything further. Different people have heard different interpretations of why Abraham stopped at number 10, or why didn't he go further? If only he had gone to 5. We assume that because he began from 50, and God kept on saying yes until he came down to 10. We assume if he had continued, God would have continued to say yes. Because we have this mentality that he never says no. I read Oswald Chambers, and Oswald Chambers believes that if he had asked for 9, the answer would have been no. If he had asked for 8, the answer would have been no. That 10 was where the yes was going to end. And I believe it. He called the restraining power of the Spirit. And that's why he stopped at 10. Some said he did a mental calculation. I read another man. And he realized that Lot, his wife, his children, he calculated that it would be up to 10. And that once that 10 is reached, that things will settle. We did not realize that Lot's daughter's husbands are not to be counted, that he didn't realize it. And as the man analyzed, he called it desire positive, petition negative. It's very interesting. I've read all kinds of things. If you want, do I still have the book? I have other books by that man anyway. It's a desire positive, petition negative. That is, our father who art in heaven. I've read all kinds of things. Now, there'll be all kinds of analysis, all right? But there was a man who analyzed it. He said that 10 was the minimum required as a seed of righteousness to spread righteousness back into the land. That anything less than 10 would not have been acceptable for God, because by doing spiritual calculations, you know that 10, anything less than 10, would have been below the critical mass for the expression of righteousness. Therefore, he would not have agreed. The point is that God refused to accept anything, you know, less than 10. Now, this is the point I'm making here. You see, so it wasn't possible, therefore, that for Abraham to stop the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But it was possible for him to deliver Lot. Lot was delivered for the sake of Abraham. You know that. It was possible for him to deliver Lot. It was not possible for Jeremiah to save the nation from destruction. But it was possible for Jeremiah to deliver himself. Because of his intercession, God gave him a gift, which was his own life. Are you getting my point? It was possible by his prayers to deliver what the Bible calls a remnant. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about making petitions. I'm talking about the will of God now. That sometimes we could break this into bits. You want to pray about Boko Haram crisis, my brethren, this is what I think. The point I'm making is that we pray for peace in the country, amen? We pray for the eradication of Boko Haram, amen? I've said many things before I came to that. But first of all, I think we shouldn't forget. Point at people and pray for their safety. Are you getting my point? Name, especially believers, even if you don't know them personally, you can pray for all the pastors that in Maiduguri, because some of them won't leave. They won't leave. Some of them are so zealous. Imo State evacuated his students. And other states have been evacuating their students from the campus. Eh? There are some campus student fellowship presidents who will not go away. There's no scripture you want to quote. They ain't going. They will say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. How does it go again? The world and Boko Haram that dwells in it. That's the way they read that scripture. And you're not moving them. They will tell you that God called them from the beginning to have dominion. And they are not lying. Bring it. Americans can fly. You know, their helicopters. Come there. Say, sir. Morning, sir. The Lord said we should move you. Say, tell the Lord I'm busy. The guy won't move. The only thing that will move the guy is the Lord to come and say, oh, boy, get into that plane. Now. I said, Lord, are you serious about that? What about the redemption of the land? There are people like that. And they are good people. They are righteous people. They are holy people. And if you drink of the same cup they drank, you have that kind of zeal. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias talking about the commitment of believers when, I think it was in Cambodia, when the Khmer Rouge were taking over. That Americans arranged evacuation for the Christians, missionaries and Christian workers, local people that were Christians that were there, to pull them out. There was one guy, the name just escaped me, I was about to pronounce it, because I have the name, you have heard in one of his messages. The man, the name came again and left. And the guy collected his family, his wife, his children, brought them down to the American embassy and put them on the helicopter. What about you? He said, I'll see you guys later. 1 hour later, they drowned the guy. The Khmer Rouge found him and drowned him. Before that, 1 hour before, there was a helicopter ready to evacuate him. He took his wife and his children there and waved them bye-bye. Two of them. The name came a third time and left again. I'll get the name before I go today. Hey, I think pronouncing it was being my problem, all right? The name keeps bouncing in my head. But this is the point. The guy refused. And when he said, look, let us go. He said, listen, let me talk to these guys. That if I can just convert one, it will have been worth it. Well, Pastor Bank is slightly different. If Khmer Rouge wants to die, I'll give him a passport to hell. I'm going. I'm sorry, I'm not saying it's the right. I'm not saying it's the right attitude. Did I say it's right? No. Don't follow me. In that one, I will tell you what to follow me on. In that one, follow the other people. All right? And I have my own scripture too. We have where to hide. He said, if they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. It's in my Bible. Jesus said, the work is plenty. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Don't waste any laborer in the harvest that doesn't want to fall. I'm not saying you should follow me. It's my own level of understanding. If I was that guy, I'm mounting the plane. I can say my mother, I can run after my mother. My brother, I can go and run after people. But Khmer Rouge, somebody has to go to hell now. Maybe it is you. I ain't dying for no Khmer Rouge. Jesus Christ died for them. If that is not enough, they should go to hell. There's one guy who's not going to follow to die for people who don't want to repent. Did I say follow me? Maybe because I'm being called to teach the body of Christ and have to be alive to talk to them. If the Lord tells me that, Banky, you're going to die in 2 years' time, I'll say, Lord, just give me these 2 years. No, extend it to 5 years. So I can write, I'll go to a corner, I'll be teaching morning, afternoon, and night. Israel, me and you go sit down there, we'll preach. Just record. How many MP3 do you have? Say 17. Okay, go on. I go preach. And then when there's nothing to preach again, I say, Lord, now I'm ready. So maybe that's why I'm thinking like this. Anyway, let me not talk for that. I'm not one guy who lays down his life for people who don't want to repent of. And I told you before, my wife used to say that. He didn't invite that person for Bible study. I said, why should I? I said, I have told him I'm preaching. I have told him already. If he doesn't want to come, can I force him? Did I say follow me? Did I say follow me? You can do it the way you like. You can be begging people. Yeah, I won't see your Bible study. Make sure you come. The one I owe everybody is to preach regularly. Like you see, last week, Alayinka, make sure we got into town. In a hurry, we got here, we preached. Today, Bishop, make sure we got into town. Bishop overtook one truck from the top. That was a joke. He wanted to try it, but I told him, not like I told Yinka last week, that getting to Bible study late is better than not getting there at all. That's what I owe people. The Lord is good. Let me go to the next point. So what I'm saying is that when you see people like that guy, all right, who won't go away? Don't leave them. Me, I won't leave them. What I mean by that? I will now take their matter as prayer point. Yes. I said, Lord, if you have to give 1,000 lives for his own alone, do. Because the 1,000 are wicked people that want to go to hell. just use them to replace this one man who's fighting for righteousness. If I have to pray that prayer, I will. So if you will not end the movement of those troublemakers, anybody, are you getting my point? And listen, I believe it is necessary we pray those prayers for some people to be delivered. It is necessary. It is necessary. I mean, just by the way, today is why I talk like I talk. Was it Bishop was telling me today that soldiers burnt, they smoked one whole area because a small boy detonated a bomb and people there hid him and they couldn't find him. The Bible says it clearly. This judgment is not only for those who do these things, but also for those who take pleasure in those that do them. Paul never took a hand to kill anybody, but he accepted full responsibility for the death of the saints. And the Bible made it clear that as they were stoning Stephen to death, the Bible noted, and there was one young man, Saul, that was there guarding their goods while they were killing somebody. So any man who hides a Boko Haram bomber is guilty as anyone as far as God is concerned. So I will pray that when the Lord wants to save one man who stayed behind for the salvation of souls, he should take all of them. If you know, there are times God says, no, 1,000 lives for this single one. I say, go and read the Bible, oh God. I told you that some of the things I say, they are not good. I don't like to say them awful. Did you ever hear that God said to David, I don't like the way you treated those people? Yet, to marry wife, you go and take Philistines. Behead all of them, circumcise them, and give to Saul. Bride price. He killed one man, Uriah, and God wanted to hang him. What does that tell you? Uriah and 1,000 Philistines. You see what I'm saying? Listen, if God wouldn't hide, if he wouldn't turn back some things, and you are not sure whether he will. Now, I said there are things you do. That's one point. Pray specifically for people. You can grade the prayer because these great prayers, they have levels. Every missionary first, all the pastors in those areas first, all of them, their wives, their children. You are getting my point? Anybody who gave them an offering, next. Every Muslim that gave them an offering. Yes. Yeah, it's true. I'm serious. God should remember that that man helped a man of God. He should get a bit of a prophet's reward. It might be deliverance for his soul. He never can tell. As I was coming today, as I was thinking in the car, just by the way, so that I won't forget I said it. You know, I've been telling people that when you say, okay, you give this, you get that. I say, you don't know. If you're a pastor, don't preach it. It's a lie. You can't give money to get money. Are you getting my point? You don't know what you will give to get money. As I was thinking just now, I remembered something in the scriptures. That the Bible says that the Egyptian... what do you call them? Midwives. Actually, what study was, as we took that 9th mile corner, there was some poster about go born where nurse day where sabi, you know, trying to encourage people to give birth in hospitals. It said, you know, it was in Pidgin English, that go and have your child where you have midwives that know this thing, not traditional people. All right. So my mind just went back to the midwives in the book of Exodus. And the Bible said that because they refused to kill the Israelites' children, God built them houses. They didn't give money to get money. Because they refused to carry out the decree of the king against the children, God established homes for them. Yeah. And you are grading the prayer. After you pray for the pastor to be saved, every unbeliever that showed him mercy at any point in time, any remnant, because prayer has grades. How do I know? Jesus said, this is bread for the children. The woman said, crumbs they fall. When would they chop bread? I don't know where you got my point. And the crumb was good enough to heal her daughter. It has great. There are little drops of prayer that you finished with the main one. You drop it on the side. It may save somebody's life. So what kind of prayer do we pray under such circumstances? I've mentioned one. A lot of times, we don't know exactly what God is doing, but we know his general will in that regard, okay? And if we're in doubt, like I was saying earlier, you narrow down your prayer to certain issues. Take this kind of crisis that's going on right now. I don't know what God is doing with it, but I know as a matter of fact, the crisis one day will come to an end. It will not come to an end just because it wants to come to an end. It will come to an end, one of the reasons, two reasons. One is because we are praying for peace generally. And then number two, because whatever thing that God is executing always has a time limit. You can't see it. It always has. It gives the number of days that this thing is going to happen. So we believe it's going to come to an end.